Rapid Fire. Fall Meetings. Legion, America's Family. American Legion National Commander Denise H. Rohan said the organization is living out her Family First initiative, from hosting Community Veterans Day dinners to military support to hurricane relief. By mid-October, for example, 128 Legion family members had received nearly $65,500 in National Emergency Fund, NEF, grants, which help cover the cost of shelter, food, clothing, and other immediate needs while families are displaced from their homes. "We, the American Legion, help people who most likely would not have been helped otherwise," Texas National Executive Committee man Butch Sparks said. "When you see a 4-year-old kid with no shoes and you're able to give him what he needs, it makes you feel honored to be a member of the Legion." Throughout the NEC's fall meetings in Indianapolis, Legion leaders supported disaster relief efforts by presenting more than $17,000 in checks to Rohan for the NEF. Other Legion program donations included $28,700 for Operation Comfort Warriors and $3,100 for the Legacy Scholarship Fund. With Veterans Day in sight, Rohan asked Legion posts to open their doors to the people of their towns and cities by hosting dinners. "We can't support our communities if people don't know we exist," she said. "Let your community know that we are also America's family." The NEC passed Resolution 1, reaffirming the Legion's unwavering support for the American way of life under the U.S. Constitution. Resolution 1 urges Americans and freedom-loving peoples everywhere to stand united in their respect for each other and for U.S. troops and law enforcement officials who place themselves in harm's way, as well as for symbols and customs serving as tangible images of freedom. The resolution calls on the Legion to promote a united nation and a united American people. The NEC also passed Resolution 3, authorizing a donation of $300,000 to help with construction of a National World War I memorial at Pershing Park in Washington, D.C. Verbatim. "When's the last time you saw 67 senators agree on anything? Or 290 members of the House? That really tells you something about how highly regarded the Legion is on Capitol Hill." Senator Todd Young, Republican Indiana, who co-sponsored the American Legion 100th Anniversary Commemorative Coin Act in Congress. The House version had more co-sponsors than any coin bill in a decade. President Trump signed it October 6th. Careers. Networking 2.0. The Job Front by Wendy S. Enelo. Job searching has changed remarkably over the past 10 years. The Internet has transformed the entire job search landscape. However, the most important thing hasn't changed at all. Ask yourself these two questions. What was the best job search strategy or action 10 years ago? Networking. What is today's best job search strategy or action? Networking. The fundamental process of networking has not changed and is still the best way to find a job. What has changed are the tools that expedite the networking process, namely LinkedIn and Facebook, along with other online resources where you can identify people you know and people you want to know because they work in the industry and or profession you are targeting. Networking tiers. The best professional networks are multi-tiered. Your Tier 1 contacts are the people you know, coworkers and colleagues, past supervisors and managers, alumni organizations, neighbors, friends, people you know from professional and or community associations, realtors, financial advisors. Email your resume and a short networking letter to them with the goal of getting 2 to 3 referrals to people they know. Those individuals will comprise your Tier 2 network. When you email your Tier 2 contacts, include the name of the person who referred you, communicate your professional expertise, inquire about opportunities, and ask for referrals to 2 to 3 others, your Tier 3 contacts. The bigger your network, the more opportunities you'll uncover. Total job search. Your search plan will most likely include other activities, emailing your resume and letter in response to print and online job postings, uploading your resume to other employment websites, sending your resume to recruiters who specialize in your profession, or writing a blog or posting online articles. All these activities and others will allow for a totally integrated campaign. But always remember that networking will score the most and best opportunities 99% of the time. Wendy Enelo is co-author of Modernize Your Resume, Get Noticed, Get Hired, and Expert Resumes for Military to Civilian Transitions. Active Duty. Milley's Myths. Army Chief of Staff General Mark Milley has identified 5 myths about modern warfare the American public needs to reject. As Military Times reports, the myths include wars will be short. There are wars that have been short in the past, but they're pretty rare, Milley observes. Wars have a logic of their own sometimes, and they move in directions that are highly unexpected. You can win wars from afar. Wars are about imposing your political will, and they're about people. And I can tell you with a high degree of certainty that human beings can survive horrific things from afar. To impose your political will on the enemy typically requires you, at the end of the day, to close with and destroy that enemy up close with ground forces. Special forces can do it all. I'm a proud Green Beret. I love Special Forces, he said. Special Forces are designated Special Forces, with that name, for a reason. They are special. They do certain special activities. The one thing they are not designed to do is win a war. They can do raids. They can train other countries. Winning a war by themselves is not one of their tasks. Armies are easy to create. There's a myth that you can just bring kids into the military, march them around a field a little bit, 6 to 8 weeks of training, and boom, you've got an army. Wrong answer. It takes a considerable amount of time to build armies, navies, air forces, and marine corps, especially in today's environment with complex weapons systems. Armies fight wars. Armies don't fight wars. Navies, air forces, they don't fight wars. Nations fight wars. It takes the full commitment of the entire nation to fight wars. Sports. Going for the gold. September's Invictus Games in Toronto featured wounded warriors from Team USA winning medals in numerous events against veteran athletes from around the world. Nearly 550 competitors, including 90 Americans, both veterans and service members alike, competed in 12 sports such as indoor rowing, weightlifting, wheelchair basketball, and track and field. After attending the Wounded Warrior Games in 2013 in Colorado, Prince Harry of England, a veteran of the British Army, was inspired to create a similar international event leading to the Invictus Games. Several Legionnaires competed in Toronto, including retired Marine Sergeant Anthony McDaniel of Gaucher Van Cleve Post 1992 in Gaucher, Mississippi, a triple amputee from an IED attack. He competed in wheelchair rugby, wheelchair basketball, and indoor rowing, and won 2 bronze medals in track and field. Retired Army Staff Sergeant Sean Johnson, a member of Sidney L. Smith Post 24 in Aberdeen, South Dakota, who is legally blind as a result of a traumatic brain injury. He competed in track and field, swimming, and cycling. Retired Air Force Master Sergeant Amy Dotson of American Legion Post 1000 in Jefferson City, Missouri, who has multiple sclerosis. She competed in cycling and track and field and won 2 silver and 2 bronze medals in swimming. Honor and remembrance. The horn is his life. World War II veteran sounds taps every evening at sunset. Bruce Benson served in World War II, flew as a commercial airplane pilot, and owned a furniture store. Musician, though, is the title he cherishes most. Music connected him to his wife, Jane, before, during, and after their 68-year marriage. Music was all over our relationship, says Benson, 92, a member of American Legion Post 322 in Webb City, Missouri. To honor her memory, as well as his fellow military veterans, Benson emerges from his historic home, a converted 1937 theater, in Webb City every night at sunset to sound taps. In her final days, Jane wrote some notes, one of which inspired Benson's nightly remembrance. May our family stay strong in Christian faith, in family love and patriotism, she wrote, before she passed away in December 2014. Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night keep Benson from performing his evening ritual across the street from the town post office. However, when lightning crashes his party, Benson stays inside and plays a recording of taps instead. Benson is often accompanied by his friend Dave Berglund, who served in the Marine Corps. Together, they often play the national anthem before taps during their 15-minute warm-up. People ask us why we do this, Benson says. It's to commemorate our fallen heroes, other people who are still serving, and because of what my wife wrote in her memoirs. Benson met Jane at Fort Crowder, Missouri, in the early 1940s, when he was in a 60-piece Army band and she was a dancer for the USO. I was sitting on the bandstand one night and she came over, Benson recalls. She looked up at me and said, could you play two courses of Southern Fried with a four-bar intro? She was so pretty and very sweet, I said, yes, I think we can do that. And that was the beginning of our romance. He accepted Jane's invitation to dinner the following Sunday night. They married in March 1946 after Benson returned from the war. She is still deep in my heart, he says softly. I have wonderful memories. Jane is never far from Benson's thoughts, whether he's at home or out playing one of his horns. Every Sunday he plays at their church, First Presbyterian of Webb City. He also performs at veterans' funerals and other events when invited. American Legion Post 322 Commander Donald Wooten says Benson performs at all the post's ceremonies. We love him, Wooten said. The horn is his life. There should be more people doing this in our country, but there are few like him. Berglund, a self-described wingman to Benson, reveres the older veteran. Their friendship began shortly after Berglund heard taps as he drove past Benson's home. He showed up the following night, and the two musicians hit it off. They performed together at other events. Last 4th of July, Benson arranged for them to play at five different ceremonies. You can't keep up with him, Berglund says. He's incredible. Henry Howard. Verbatim. It is unconscionable that VA staff would cover up mistakes or malpractice by VA clinicians. This is exactly why the American Legion pressed Congress to provide the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs increased authorities to protect whistleblowers and hold medical providers and staff accountable for their performance. American Legion National Commander Denise H. Rohan, on reports by USA Today that VA has for years concealed mistakes and misdeeds by staff members. Honor and Remembrance. Probably we shan't sail before spring. Editor's note. Throughout the Great War's centennial, the American Legion magazine will publish excerpts from the letters of D.B. Bernard Ryan of Albion, New York, who served as an Army infantry officer and helped found American Legion Charette Post 35 in 1919. 309th Infantry, Camp Dix, New Jersey, December 2, 1917. Dear Mother, you seem to be determined that I am coming home for Christmas. I appreciate your kind welcome and home. Was very glad I spent those days there in the summer. But if you really want me to have a rest and a change and a vacation, if I do get the leave, please remember that those things for me would be the theaters in New York and not the explaining and gossip with folks in Albion, much as I appreciate their being interested in all that. So you will, of course, come as planned, and that's settled, and I shan't talk any more about it except to look up the timetables and arrange the final meeting place, etc. You will arrive in New York or in Trenton, depending on my being able to get away, sometime in the morning of December 15th. There's only one thing I might add, though I have no authority and nobody knows. Probably we shan't sail before spring. A recent incident, however, suggested to me that it might be much sooner. Mrs. Anderson sent me a cake for Thanksgiving. It arrived that morning. Perhaps I told you. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner. Oysters, celery, olives, turkey, mashed potatoes, mashed turnip, cranberry sauce, mince pie, grapes, apples, assorted nuts. That evening, shrimp salad, cheese creams, more fruits and nuts, and a maple chocolate cake sent to one of us. There were just eight here for the day, and we all sat at the KO's table and sat around it for an hour or two afterward. He carved. Everybody said it was a great dinner. The men in the companies ate about the same menu, were very well fed. In fact, they are all the time. Prices jumping like 60. Potatoes from the QM have gone up about 50%. The ration for the month has jumped from 39 to 42 cents. Prices of canned goods from the QM have also gone up, so my bills will be higher, probably. December 8, 1917. We are in an epidemic of measles in camp. One company in 310 is quarantined, and today there is an order that all windows on leeward side of each barracks must be kept open. That was particularly welcome in view of the fact that the regiment was practically without coal until late this afternoon. Then we got some new coal, which was a splendid thing for the ranges, but will not be wasted in the heaters. Had trouble with our ranges yesterday. All passes were suspended today, perhaps on account of measles. Love, D.B.R. Honor and Remembrance, second round of 100 Cities, 100 Memorials, Grant Competition open. American Legion posts still have the opportunity to secure matching grants of up to $2,000 for the restoration, conservation, or even creation of local World War I memorials. The second submission period for the 100 Cities, 100 Memorials program runs through January 15, 2018. It is open to new entries as well as first-round entries that did not receive one of the initial 50 grants. Any organization, group, municipal, government, or individual may apply. The project must be or have been completed between January 1, 2014 and November 18, 2018. All awarded memorials will be officially designated as Centennial Memorials by the U.S. World War I Centennial Commission. Second-round grant recipients will be announced April 6th. Interested parties should go to www.1cc.org/100memorials to download the competition manual, submit a grant application, and sign up for an informational blog about the program. Honor and Remembrance podcast covers Great War week by week. The U.S. World War I Centennial Commission produces a weekly audio podcast for listening on computers or mobile devices. World War I Centennial News is recorded with a live audience at noon Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday and covers events connected to the war 100 years ago that week, such as battles in Europe and the life on the American home front, and news related to the war centennial and commemoration. Download and share the podcast online or subscribe through iTunes or Google Play Music. www.1cc.org/communicate. Personal Finance, USAA. Focus on Finances, J.J. Montanaro. Five things to know about flood insurance. Years ago, I covered the topic of flood insurance in this space, and considering recent weather events, now is probably a good time to revisit it. According to the government, floods are the most common and most costly natural disaster. Here are five things you should understand about flood insurance as you look to protect your wallet and property. It's not part of regular homeowners' coverage. You may be able to buy coverage, a separate policy, through your insurance company or another company that has an arrangement with the Federal National Flood Insurance Program, NFIP. Some private companies offer coverage outside the NFIP, and you may need to go that route if the coverage offered through the government program is not adequate or the price is not competitive. It's not too expensive. According to the feds, the average premium is about $650 per year. Compare that figure to the potential losses stemming from flood damage, and you have a case study on insurance and risk management. You don't have to be in the floodplain to be vulnerable. According to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, a surprising 25% of flood claims come from low to moderate risk areas. These are the types of areas where lenders do not require you to purchase flood insurance and where most of us live. There are limits. As far as insurance goes, the NFIP is pretty straightforward. You can cover your residence up to $250,000 and contents up to $100,000. For additional coverage, talk to your insurer. You can't wait until flooding is in the forecast. Typically, there's a 30-day waiting period before the policy is effective. Don't count on luck to keep you out of trouble. Explore your risk and options for flood insurance. J.J. Montanaro is a certified financial planner with USAA, the American Legion's preferred provider of financial services. Submit questions for him online. www.legion.org/USAA/focus-on-finances. Education. 55, number of Legionnaires who attended National American Legion College in Indianapolis, October 29th to November 3rd. 38, departments represented in the 2017 Legion College class. Learn more about National Legion College or download an application, www.legion.org/college. Centennial, Post 18, Bloomington, Indiana. In 1939, Bloomington hosted the Indiana Legion's Department Convention. A newspaper article reported that 75,000 people were expected in to celebrate the Legion's 20th anniversary event. Facilities used for the convention included the New Graham Hotel, the Masonic Building, and Indiana University's Memorial Stadium and Alumni Hall. Share your post's legacy. Upload stories, photos, and videos of your post's history on the Legion's Centennial Celebration website, www.legion.org/centennial. Education. My GI Bill, Veterans and Education by Valerie Hefner. Veterans Upward Bound. Question. I was recently discharged from the Army. I'm thinking about going back to school to pursue my dream of counseling other veterans. It's been a while since I was in college, and I'm wondering if there is a program that will help prepare me for post-secondary education. Answer. You may qualify for Veterans Upward Bound, VUB, a free program designed to assist veterans in the development of academic and other skills for acceptance and success in a post-secondary education program. VUB provides instruction in pre-calculus, science, foreign language, composition, and literature. To qualify for VUB, you must meet certain service requirements and be a low-income prospective first-generation college student who is preparing to enter a post-secondary institution. To find out more about VUB, visit its webpage at www.2.ed.gov/programs/trio-vub/index.html. Valerie Hefner is a Marine Corps veteran and member of American Legion Post 27 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Ask Valerie at legion.org.